going to God praise this morning. Let me hear somebody tell God thank you. God is worthy to be praised. Amen. Jesus is our Lord. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Won't you give God some more praise? Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, what a great day. Hallelujah. Man, this is a way to start your day. Amen. Early on a Sunday morning. Amen. Giving God praise. He is worthy. Amen.
Yes.
Man, what an awesome God we serve. Jesus, you are Lord. If you would, stand on your feet for a moment. I want to pray. I know that prayers have been made before. Father, we give you praise this morning for all that you have done for us. We glorify you because it is not because of us that we succeed. It is because of you and your grace, your unmerited favor, that favor that we receive in the earth to accomplish things that are far outside of our skill levels or abilities, and yet you allow them to be so. For that, we tell you thank you.
Thank you.
For times, God, when there seemed to be no open door, but you made ways anyway. For that, we tell you thank you. For times when we were sick in our bodies or in despair or our hearts were broken and you mended, fixed, and opened, we want to tell you thank you for all that you have done. You have restored life to us. You have restored joy to us, peace to us. And for that, we tell you thank you, God. For those that may be in this room, and right now, God, times may be somewhat confusing. Things are not exactly how they understand it. They don't know exactly what the next step is. The joy is that we know you are working on our behalf.
Yes.
And for that, God, we tell you thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know how you're going to work it out.
Thank you, Lord.
But I trust that you will. And because of that, I do have joy down on the inside. So this morning, God, as we now join together, we have sung together. I believe some testimonies have gone forth, and now we share this bit of time together to receive your word, some spiritual edification. We ask, Lord, that you would let your word come and fall upon good ground. Don't let it be a corrupt seed. Let it be a good seed that brings forth good fruit down in us so that we might change the world for your benefit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Won't y'all come on and give God some praise this morning? He is worthy to be praised.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. God is good. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, grab your Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter 10. Verse 10, please. We have been spending a lot of time, man, the last few weeks we've just been studying ourselves. The things that I have been reading have really been about self-development, learning how to deal with yourself, control your personal emotions, get yourself in a battle stance, be able to deal with the stuff that comes to you. Today, however, I find myself in a different place. A place that should not be neglected. If it is neglected, it brings injury to us. And so I want you to go to John 10, 10. And while you're there, I want to read, I'm going to read the entire scripture, but I am going to give great emphasis just to one portion. I have given it to you all before with emphasis on the other side. Now I need to give emphasis to the dark side. Scripture declares, when you have it, please say, I have it. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is what I have spent a great deal of time teaching on, about what Jesus has come to do, to give us life, that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. But it would be wrong of me if I did not highlight the tactics of the enemy. It is those tactics that we have to be leery of, we have to be watchful for, we have to pay attention, because we have an adversary who, although we might consider this child's play, is not playing with us. And because we don't see him all the time, you see him sometime and you realize this thing is real, man. But because he is so adept at hiding and being sneaky, we don't always see his tactics. Sometimes we think it's our cousin. Sometimes we think it's a friend. Our girl, you better just stop that mess. We give a lot of credit to people instead of understanding that there's someone greater behind those people. There's a force at play and work behind those who become our enemies, our adversaries, through whom he uses. Y'all got it? So I was looking at this, and y'all have to forgive me, I'm going to go back and forth a little bit, but John 10:10 does say that the enemy comes not but for to steal, y'all write these down, steal, kill, destroy. Nowhere in Jesus' explanation of who Satan is does he say anything good. Y'all got it? We will find today that there are more descriptions of him, but I want you to get this, because if you begin to understand it, you can begin to set up some safeguards for yourself. And if you set up the safeguards for yourself, then you protect yourself and everything that is connected to you. All right? And that's my goal. So I need to take you to one other place. If y'all would go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. I want to give you a description and then a definition. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. When you have it, please say, I have it. All right. So I'm going to read it out of the NIV because I like the way the NIV says it. It does say it nice in the King James as well and in the Amplified. But it says this: in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. In the King James, I believe it says, for we are not of his devices. What is it? Help me.
Ignorant.
There it is. We are not ignorant of his devices. But I want to read this NIV to you because it more goes with the dictionary definition of who he is. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. In the dictionary, when you go back to the Old English understanding and also the Hebrew, the word Satan is actually defined as plot against. Plot against. We always say Satan and we're thinking of a person and an image and all of that, but you need to understand who he is and what his goal is. It is to plot against. And his first plot was not in Genesis. His first plot was in heaven. And in heaven, he tried to take over what God had created himself. Jesus declared in Luke 9 and Luke 10, as they were celebrating, they had been out and they were casting the devil out of people and in control, and they came back rejoicing. And he says to them, don't take great joy because you have power over the enemy. He said, because I beheld, or I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. Wow. Satan did something that God was so displeased with that as fast as a lightning bolt strikes, Jesus saw him cast out of heaven. Y'all got to get this thing. So you need to know that he had a scheme that displeased God even when he was in heaven. Many have said that he was the chief musician. He was all these things. There are writers that say he was adorned in precious jewels and all that. He was beautiful and musical. And there was something about him that gave great joy and praise. I believe he was called Son of the Morning or something like that. He had these names and he had this thing about him. And somewhere he got lost in the description of himself to where he thought that he was more powerful than God. And the Bible says that he and a third of the host of heaven were cast out because he did deceive many, even of the heavenly host. Now, if he was a deceiver and a plotter in heaven, how much more do you think that he is the same here on earth? Matter of fact, when we see him in Genesis, it describes him as being more subtle than any other creature. And when you study it, you'll find that it means he was more cunning. He could devise plans like no other thing could. He had foresight. If I could put this into an understanding for everyone today of things that we know, I'll do a simple one first, because we were playing some games yesterday and we started talking about dominoes. And the person who is successful at dominoes isn't lucky. There is this thing called beginner's luck. And most times a person has beginner's luck is because a more advanced player is wanting to play someone who has the same skill, who operates a certain way. And a beginner, not knowing how to play, does stupid things. And the person who is skilled at what he does sometimes missteps because why would he do something that ignorant? And are caught off guard and they lose just out of happenstance. But the next time, they know that the other one may do something stupid and they plan for that. The reason I go into this is that to be good at anything, you must first understand the game you are playing. You must understand the rules of the game. You must understand what both opponents are capable of doing, which I've been trying to teach you in the study of ourselves. So that one thing you will never underestimate is you, or overestimate. I don't want you to think that you're capable of doing stuff you're not capable of doing. I want you to see yourself for who you are, and when you recognize exactly who you are, then you know what to put into God's hands. Because you know what you're not capable of doing yourself. And if you know your abilities or inabilities, then you won't put yourself in certain situations fooling yourself, talking about, oh, I can handle this. Because that's what Satan wants you to do, is to think that you are stronger than you really are, to put yourself in a compromising position where he then takes advantage of you. We, however, sometimes have these plans. We want to do it a certain way. You know, we think we can do this thing instead of understanding how things operate. To make yourself good at dominoes, we were talking last night, you have to know how to count, number one. Right? If you're playing dominoes with just double sixes, you have to know how many dominoes are in the game. You know that everybody has a certain number of dominoes, and when you watch them start playing the game, you recognize that if somebody put out 1-1, 1-1 is not coming back. Somebody put out 6-6, 6-6 is not coming back. 5-5 is not coming back. 3-4 is not coming back. And you begin to play the game, and if you play with a matter of insight, knowing that that can't come again, but these are still out there, then you know how, if I put this down, it is a possibility they'll put that down. You have to be a thinker if you want to win the game.
And so if you can count and think, even if you don't get points, but you stop somebody else from getting points by withholding from them what they are hunting for, you're able to do that as well by understanding how the game is played. The problem with us in this world is I think that we fail to believe that something is really afoot, that there is not something going on. We really just feel like we're here and we're running this thing and the devil is not trying to kill us. And he's got it running so smooth that you're comfortable putting yourself in compromising positions because you really don't feel like nothing's gonna happen. Jesus was wise enough to say to us, listen, the devil comes not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And even if you jump out there and start playing the game and it look like you're winning on his terms, understand he only has one purpose. That's to destroy whatever you're doing. Y'all got it? And so we oftentimes forget that Satan is busy trying to find ways to destroy us, trying to find ways to corrupt whatever we've built, whatever we've done, to use something to embarrass, to destroy our reputation, to mess up our finance, to, you know, anything he could possibly do to tear your house down. If you play chess, most people say chess is so hard. Actually, if you stop and think about it, you know the moves that every man on the board can make. The dude across from you can only move his pieces the same way as you can move yours. You have to figure out what he may do with his pieces. So wouldn't it be wise then to do a character study of our enemy? Every great football coach or combat strategist learns his enemy well. He looks at their battles, he sees what they have done before, and he devises a plan based on what tools he knows they have, what weapons he knows they can use, where he has seen success with them before, and then he plots his own course to use their skills against them. This is what they're most likely to do because they've been very successful doing this. If you understand how your enemy works, then you're able to somewhat deceive him, to make him feel like you're going left when in fact you're going right. I remember playing football, and the coach used to teach us tricks on the defensive line. He said, whenever you're watching the running backs, he said, a novice running back always points his toes in the direction that he's going to run. He says, you'll see his shoulders lean and his toes lean. And if you're wise, you just stand back and you're looking, but you're not looking. And you see those toes and you're going right. And the ball is hiked and they take off to the right. And he's trying to figure out why everybody catches him on the end is because he's already told you where he's going. But the wise man points his toes to the left and runs right. Learns how to use what you're trying to use against you. We're not capable of outthinking the deceiver. He has been doing this since before we were ever created. So the wisest thing for us to do is to play within the boundaries that God has established for us. Is anybody with me? But a lot of times we want to play close to the edge because if there were alligators at the edge, nobody play at the edge. So he lets them go down in the water and hide their eyes. And you get a few sips of water. And it's like, man, this is good, but that water out there is probably better. And he just waits. He's like, no, I can't get him up there. But if I get him out here far enough where he can't get away or she can't move fast enough, I got him. And so they keep going out. And it's like, well, it must be clear because I'm out here and nothing's happened. So, hey. And they go out a little further, and the enemy then, because their feet are now stuck in the mud and he's capable of swimming out there, he then attacks, and while they're trying to get unstuck, he gets them and then starts to roll with them and destroys them because they were foolish enough to play into his strategy. So I started looking, and it said that Satan was, what did I tell y'all he was? What is Satan plotting against? And when I read the NIV, it says, we're not ignorant of his schemes. What's that mean? He's got little plans, right? I need y'all to get that. He has devised plans against you. And even when we look in the book of Job, God asks, hey, have you considered? He knows he's out there looking. Have you considered my servant Job? I have. I've been wanting to get in for a long time, yet I can't because you've set these hedges about him and I can't get to him. But yes, I have looked at it. And he says, oh, okay, well, I'll let you get at him, but you can't do this. And he continued to set limits because he wanted Job to be strengthened, to be made better. Y'all got it? So what I want you to understand is that Satan devises plans. That's a strategy, okay? And he often walks within those plans. And when you think you're safest, you're probably the closest to his attack. When you are out there doing what you know you should not be doing, think, I'm good. You are probably so close to his attack at that very moment that you ought to ask God to help you. I need y'all to hear me. A strategist, they have a term, strategist is a person who devises plans. That's what he does. I would consider him a strategist. One of the wisest, because he's known us before we knew ourselves. He has been watching mankind, working against mankind since its creation. He knows what we go for. Y'all know what kind of things bass like, right? And crappie like, right? Can you catch a crappie with dough bait? I'm curious. That ball bait, I don't think so, because that stuff likes to rest on the bottom, right? You can get a catfish with it. You can maybe get a sturgeon or something like that with it. Them bottom-sucking fish, you can get it because it's just laying on the ground. They'll grab it and run with it. But a crappie, he just needs to see it move a little bit. And the bait can't be bigger than his mouth, right? Y'all getting where I'm going. And so when you hang it out there and it's bouncing in the water, he'll go after it, but if it's too big, he'll pick at it all day. He'll never even get close to the hook. You got to get it just long enough to where it goes for it and hits the hook accidentally. You know, it looks good, looks like dinner, and then he grabs it and you got him. That's what the devil does. That thing you want so bad, it's really close to the hook. You just don't know how close to the hook it is. And you keep playing with it, thinking, man, I'm good, it's all right, it's straight. Until he sets the hook. A bass. They don't even use a reel. We look at it, we know it's a toy, right? You just like, make it look like a fish. Make it jump like one, you know, make it look like a little fish. And it's just clicking and a blocking and a poking. And it ended in me out to be like, that ain't real. But it looks real to him because he's hungry. Satan often plays to your appetite. He throws out what you're hungriest for. And you assume it's exactly what you need. Doggone if it ain't a counterfeit. Y'all ain't hearing me, boy. And it got your attention. And if you go after it once, what do you do? Pull it in, right? Throw it right back out there. Because you know you're looking for, where's that mug at? Boy, this next time, when it comes, I'm going to grab it next time. You grab it, you can grab it yourself. He doesn't hook you. You hook yourself. Y'all, think about it. The fisherman doesn't like say the fish is right there, throw it out there and snag it across the fish. No, he throws it out there and the fish hooks itself. No, that's just wrong, right? God, Satan plays the exact same way. I don't even know if I should use the word play, because he's really not playing. He's out to kill us, right?
Yes.
And so he's putting stuff out there to get your attention and try to throw you off course so that he can destroy what you've amassed, attained, become, trying to go. He's trying to destroy your life. That's why, y'all know why the schoolhouse is so distracted, it has so many distractions. Keep kids from ever becoming who they're supposed to be. Noise over here, noise over here. You got this one being noise and that one. And they're just letting the devil use them, you know. And then your kid gets caught up. And before they know it, school day's over. And I need you to bring that homework back in the morning. And I don't know what she said. Devil done his job already. My strategy is to throw you off track, and then when you're down the road, you won't be able to do what you should be able to do because you were paying attention to me. I got you. Satan is what? Busy, and he's good at what he does. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want you to walk around fearful, but I need you to understand that we have an adversary. That's what the Bible calls him. You want to write something else down? Your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That is his goal. To get after you. He wants you to take the plunge. He wants you to look weak. He wants you to, so he can get you. Pastor Rand, you're taking so much time talking about the enemy. I got to tell you about the enemy today. I got to tell you about it. Because if I don't tell you about it, see, I can tell you about all his devices, but I got to also tell you how he uses them. You know, he's sneaky with those things. You know? Simple thing like, you need to hurry up. You be on the highway. You know what the speed limit is. You know you got a little grace, right? But something down in you be like, you should go a little faster. You still got some more room. Go a little faster. You're not thinking about that $287 ticket. You're not thinking about them 4 points on your license. You're just like, I need to get there. Where are you trying to get to? Ain't even worth $287 to get there at that time. But you be like, you know what? I just got to. And so you keep going, you go, I know I'm going a little bit fast, but they know, oh, too late. And then on the inside, you tell yourself, I knew better. Don't you? Don't you?
I know I do.
I knew better than that. Oh, my God. Satan is good at causing us to cause ourselves injury.
Yes.
That's what I want you to get. Causing us to cause our selves injury.
Do it to himself.
Yeah. He just throws it out there and he knows you. Y'all ever seen a cow in a field full of grass? Mm-hmm. How he will run his neck through barbed wire to get grass just outside of the fence.
Yeah.
All he gotta do is turn around, look in the other direction. He got a field full of grass. He bleeding at the neck for the same thing he's got inside the fence. Anybody with me? How can he do that to us? And there's some stuff that you know is not good for you. Well, I got a word I can't even use in church. But you do it anyway. Despite yourself. You know you ought to leave it alone. You know it ain't right for you. The devil made me do it. No, he just showed it to you. He showed it to you. And the thing that's so bad about this, y'all, is Satan takes advantage of opportunities. You know, he starts on the outside, but his goal is to take over the inside. I want y'all to get this. Because the Bible does talk about, you know, certain possessions and stuff like that. TV's got it so over-dramatized,
dramatized.
Yeah, that. Got it so much that that we just got to giggle at it. You know we can't do that. You ain't never seen nobody head spin around and everybody's been out. You're like, man, that's just all play. No, he doesn't usually do that. But he'll get down in you enough to where you can't stop doing what you are doing. Mm-hmm. He'll get that hook in you. You'll be like, man, I got to stop. I'm almost, Jesus, I don't have to do this. I don't know why I did that again. Golly, I thought, I just can't get past the taste of this. Oh my God, Lord, help me. And he just creeps in more, until he got you hooked. And you sitting there, and you know when you started, it wasn't even all that. I wasn't even hooked to this thing, but now I just can't get over. This thing is killing me. I don't understand. The devil is good.
He is.
Yeah, I know one time. I can't get him one time. And see, listen, I want you to get this, because we always think that he's wanting to kill us right off. No, not before he causes injury to everybody else. Mm-hmm. See, if I can use you, you're more valuable to me alive than you are dead.
That's right.
If I can get inside you and get you to doing things that affect the kingdom of God, I would prefer to use you as a counter agent instead of killing you. I will get inside you and say little things like, you know you want that today. You know you need to do that. You should take that. You should do this. I'll say the things. Then once I let it happen to you 3 or 4 times without anybody coming, I won't let anybody find you. I'll just let you get easy. And then you're all engrossed and nobody can catch me doing this. And then after you've shown others and they're doing it, and then I get all of y'all. Devil is very good at what he does. His only goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. Is that not what the book says? I'm the preacher, y'all, and sometimes I don't realize I be looking at the devil. Ooh, I know what that is. But sometimes it takes a minute for you to see what's going on. Because he is cunning. If Eve had known who she was talking to in the garden, if she had fully understood who he was and what he was trying to do, if she had a full picture of how her life was about to change, she'd have left him alone. She'd have bounced so far away from the serpent, it'd have made his head spin. But because he was slick, hey, I'm curious. Can you eat from all the trees out here? Well, we can eat from all the trees out here except the one tree. Because the one tree, if we eat with, oh, if you eat of that tree, he probably went and took a bite of it. Oh, you won't die, I mean, surely. But God said if we did, we won't surely die and bear her. And when she saw that it was a tree desirous to make one wise, and it was good for food, she did eat and caused her husband. Look at what Satan did. He used her enough to mess him up too. Satan is good at what he does. And forgive the person who's hurt you before, because most times they don't even know that they're being used.
Amen.
They haven't built their life to such a place where they even see the devil at work. They just feel like they're doing what they're doing. They know it caused you pain, but they didn't understand the pain came from up there.
That's right.
That he was intentionally trying to destroy you through them. Are you hearing? Mm-hmm. Ha! He's got there to tell you about our enemy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil,
as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Go there real quick. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Corinth because they got some stuff going on, right? When you have it, please say I have it. 2 Corinthians, excuse me, 11 and 3. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. And it starts by saying, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. There were people coming in trying to change the faith. And he was like, you know, just as subtle and cunning as Satan was, these people that are coming in now are quietly trying to destroy your beliefs. You know? And that's what I want you all to pay attention to, is very rarely does the devil just pounce you. Usually, he's sneaky. Mm-hmm. Okay? Very sneaky. In Mark 4:1, it says that he's the tempter. And even Jesus was led to the wilderness to be tempted by him. So if anybody knows how to tempt you, guess who does? Mm-hmm. Satan is good at causing you temptation. Y'all got it? Mm-hmm. Then, in Matthew 9:32, write this down because I want y'all to read them later. I'm not going to stick around real long today because I want to treat you all this morning. So write this down. Matthew 9:32. Then Mark 5:15. Mark 7:24. In those three scriptures, it talks about people who have been possessed of the devil.
Can you give me the scripture one more time? Mark 5:15.
Matthew 9:32. Mark 5:15. Mark 7:24. Okay. Now I want to give you those, and then there's one other that I'm gonna give you in a little bit.
Ma'am. 2 Peter by the Avenger.
Our adversary, the devil. It is 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. I want y'all to understand that he is busy. And in these three instances in scripture, we find that people have been overcome by the devil, possessed by. And he is fully at work in them because they have allowed him place in them. And the Bible says, make no room for the enemy. But oftentimes we give him place in us through what we want. We open the door. And I don't know if y'all remember the scripture I talked to a long time ago where it talks about when the room is clean. And it's a spiritual thought. It's talking about when we get cleaned. We get forgiven and we get cleaned up and we get the enemy out. It says we are cleaned up and garnished. Means the Lord has made us clean and decorated us on the inside. That thing that was in us, that sinful thing, that character trait that we had, that Satan used so much, that spirit will be out trying to find a new place to go. It says, and when it finds none, all right, it finds seven others stronger than itself. I want y'all to get that because he realizes that you put him out before. So just coming back by himself is not going to be an easy battle because you have become used to him and you'll know how to fight him off. He might get back in, but you'll get him out again. But what he does is he grabs seven other spirits stronger than himself and comes back because he likes where he used to live. And he will endure them being there if it lets him get into you. And so he comes back. And if you show weakness enough to allow him in, they flood in with him.
And what it says at the end of that is the last state of that man is worse than the first. Not because you're so much worse, it's just some other stuff came with what used to be there.
Amen.
I need y'all to hear me. And so you might have had a little bit of a habit, but if you keep playing around, you find yourself doing stuff. Let me just, don't answer me. Have you ever backslid and found yourself doing worse than you did before you used to? And it happened like, and you're like, what the heck? It'll scare you a little bit. What the world? That's because he's trying to get you and overcome you as quickly as he possibly can. Mm-hmm. All right? I'm sharing this with you because I don't want you to be defeated. I don't want to be defeated. Are y'all with me? But Satan is good at what he does. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And for us to be successful, we have to not only understand ourselves, we also need to understand our enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even good to only understand your enemy. Because you can know what your enemy will do and not really know what you'll do, and you'll mess it up.
Mm.
You need to know yourself. This thing that we're doing is not a plaything. You should have some self-awareness. You need to know you.
Amen.
Are y'all hearing me? You need to know you. You need to know. You know, what can I use? If you know three sips of something get you messed up, then ensure you don't, you know what I'm saying? You got to make sure if you got the sip, that you take a half a sip. Y'all get where I'm going, because them three sips, you know where you at at three. And what'll happen is you'll be at sip number two and somebody come in and laugh, hey man, I got this thing, and shoot two in front of you. Not only is it that one more you can't handle, they'll throw you one above the one you can't handle. Just to get you hooked. And so I'm wanting you all to be careful, because the enemy is good at what he does.
Amen.
The thing you need to know is that we have a God that is watching over us. Because if he was not, the devil would take advantage of us. And so something that you can be assured by is that God will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. But you have to make sure that you are paying attention. Because although he won't allow you to be tempted above that you are able, you can open yourself up to more.
Yes.
Because the first thing that comes to you, God has that thing measured. But if you give in, give up, turn over, then you'll be overcome by it. Even in marriage, I want to show y'all something, man. I was laughing. I was looking through all these and where the devil works and all that. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, right, I taught this years and years ago, and I was going back through these scriptures, and I was putting in the names of the devil and pulling up different things. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, they had written a letter unto Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and they were asking him, was it good for men and women to be together? Because they were trying to turn the church around. And Paul was like, you know, it's good for men not to touch a woman. If you don't have to, you don't have to. If you don't feel like you need to do that, do that. He said, myself, I don't have that need. You know, he was seriously about ministry. He said, but to avoid fornication, let every man have his own woman and every woman, every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. And he was saying, through that, you avoid fornication and all that. And it's like a wonderful teaching. He says, And also down the line, he says, like around verse 5, he says, and defraud not one another. And when I looked it up in this other one, this other thing, it said, I can't remember how it's worded now. But it was, if you're married, don't seek your rights. And I went, it was like marriage, and this is one of the versions. It says, because marriage is mutuality. It is about you pleasing her, talking to the man, and about her pleasing you. You have given up everything to ensure that you're together. It says, so don't defraud each other. except, and when it says defraud, if you made a promise, do what you said you were going to do. The only time you don't is if you give yourself to prayer and fasting. It says, and only then, if you've agreed upon it, got it? And then, not for a long time, and at the end of that scripture says, because if you do, Satan, because of your incontinence, but I can't remember how it's actually worded, but because you're not consistent on the inside and have these passions, Satan will come in and deceive you or get into your house. And so if you've made this decision to be married, be married. Let your concern as the man be her and your concern as the wife can be him. And don't get into marriage talking about, this is me and I'm me. And no, if that's the case, then stay you and stay you. Y'all get that? And I was like, crap, I never read it like that before. And so it means you've got to be given to pleasing her. She's got to be given to pleasing you because you did this contract among you to avoid displeasing God.
Amen.
Y'all with me? And it's like, dang, boy, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then what you do. And I was like, dang, so we open up places in our house for the devil to come in if we don't do what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
And then we're mad that the devil's in our house, but we open the door. Be careful of your enemy. He will use anybody, even your spouse, against you.